I'm also the CEO of Community Health Northwest Florida, and we actively engage in a partnership with SYSA to increase access to wellness clinics, sports physicals, vaccinations, dental services, and all of the wraparound services that we have to offer.
Why would Chandra Smiley from the Community Health of Northwest Florida partner with Southern Youth Sports Association? Because they're great for kids.
The healthcare provider, in the last 20 years, there has been a significant increase in children battling obesity, overweight, and type 2 diabetes. 1 in 5 children throughout the country are reported as being overweight.
Oh, man. And SZA provides an opportunity for kids to get out of the house, get out of the street, get out of the court, and get into the gym and learn character and learn physical skills and learn how to play as a team and manage their emotions. You know, one of the things we don't talk a lot about when it comes to sports, but sports is a great opportunity to encounter frustration and encounter stress and to control your anger. And, like, you know, there's so many things that youth sports does for kids.
SYSA is an ecosystem of what is missing in our society and is desperately needed. We need more programs such as SYSA.
Man, I will tell you again, just in case you're tuning in for the first time this morning, I've been talking about this a lot. The proposal was $3 million funded by SYSA, $1 million from Troy Rafferty, and lots of money from other people. But basically to build a facility, a gym, a community center, a gym, that the city would then pay for the maintenance of, at least up to about $3,000 to $4,000 a month. And then the city would have access to it during school hours, basically 8 to 2 during the week. And then the rest of the time would be for SZA for their sports opportunities. And I'll tell you, as much as I did know about SZA, I feel like I really didn't know enough, because I am a huge fan. Like, every time these people are talking about what they're doing, I'm thinking, God, we need more of this. And if the city can spend $45,000 a year and get even an additional 10 or 20 kids, and it's going to be way more than that, you know, into a program like this, I mean, my God, do it.
SYSA. I grew up at SYSA as a player. My mother and father took me there every day to practice. My dad didn't coach. He was just a supporter. My coach is Mr. Ransom, Crucia. One of the reasons why I still coach, I think Crew coached him. He was about 60. I'm trying to go to 65. I don't know. We'll see.
No, this is Raymond Palmer.
No, it's more than about basketball. That basketball and football, and all, that's just a drawing card to get the kids out of Marsh Court, out of Marina Court, out of Ass Court, where ain't nothing going on in there but drug selling, drug doing. Not all of them, but a majority of them. So we use that as a tool to get the kids in. Once they're a Tiger, we had a saying at SYSA, once you're a Tiger, you're always a Tiger. It's Tiger for life. So it doesn't matter when you start at 13, you turn 35 years old, you still Coach Palmer Tiger.
You know, I said it before, I'll say it again. This reminds me of like a church or a parachurch organization, which they have prayer and they're led by people of faith, okay? But it almost reminds me of like a youth pastor. We're going to get you in for the move. We're going to get you in for the game night. We're going to get you in for and we're going to preach the gospel to you along the way. Now, it's not a evangelical organization per se, but it is doing gospel stuff. And the impact that they're having on these kids' lives is obvious based on how those kids even stay in contact with their coaches years, decades later.
I still have young ladies calling me for advice on this and that. Had a young lady call me today. She had a major decision to make. She wanted to get my opinion on it. That's what we're there for. Whether they go on to play sports, or go to the military, or whatever they decide to do in life, we're going to support them.
Man, lifelong relationships, mentoring opportunities, a lot of times dealing with kids who have, you know, missing parents, right? This is, again, just all to the good. Jordan Palmer.
They also taught me the 4 B's, the Bible, the books, the ball, and the balance. That philosophy became the framework of my life. It grounded me, it challenged me, and lifted me when I stumbled. And through it all, there was always someone there ready to guide me.
Tyra Henderson, who does dual enrollment coordinating. Dual enrollment is when you go to high school and college at the same time. And that's one of those things where a lot of people don't know about it, but getting more and more kids into that is a great way to get them ahead on, you know, college, and also for free, because when you're in high school, it's all covered.
Mr. Bear, I want to address you specifically because you asked the question about graduation and completion of academics. I'm a dual enrollment coordinator, and I don't know how many students Lumen May and Coach Tisha have connected me with. There are so many students that are participating currently in dual enrollment at a local institution in our community.
Again, that's a testimony that they're helping kids solve their needs. They're getting kids into programs that they need, whether it's just physical activity or whether it's at, you know, academic mentoring or whether it's dual enrollment. You know, they're bringing them into a community, right? And I mean, I don't know, maybe somebody's going to object to my way of saying this, but here's how I look at it. You got a lot of these kids are going to be part of some gang. Well, let's get them into a good gang. Let's get them into a gang that's for their benefit, that's going to bring out the best in them, that's going to put them together with solid adults who are going to teach them. They're going to learn how to achieve. They're going to learn how to win. They're going to learn how to get some self-esteem in healthy ways. They're going to get reminded and nagged a little bit in ways that parents and parents are supposed to do. I mean, again, it's all good. And I love this comment by Kiki Brooks, who was a young lady who was, you know, in this program for a while and went apparently played college basketball, okay? And they talked about like 16, Khrushchev, Calvin Ransford coached 16 pros that went pro out of this. I mean, and he's just one coach?
I've been part of this program since I was 4 years old, and I am now 25 and have seen the things SOSA does for families in the community. I could talk about what it has done for me personally. My mom was a single parent with 7 kids in the program, and when she isn't able to be here today as she is on bed rest, but if she was, she would want me to say, if it wasn't for this program, she doesn't know how our family would have made it through the some of the tough times we faced. This program has changed my family life for the better. I've heard SOSA doesn't have programs or scholarship opportunities. That isn't true. SOSA gave me and my sister a scholarship to college before we were even given the opportunity to play basketball in college. We have now graduated with a bachelor's degree in business administration.
I mean, it just, like, the fact that an organization like this exists, that they have come to the city with a $3 million fundraising campaign to build a community center, which is still going to provide 30 hours of access to the public outside of the youth sports that CISA oversees for, again, $3,000 or $4,000 a month. Like, man, just say thank you, you know? So why were some people opposed? Not to the center itself, but to the deal that was being brokered. I'll tell you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Back to rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 29, 90 are all looking good this morning. Not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So you had sort of two kinds of objections. One that was being brought by the Neighborhood Association there locally, West Garden District, where they were saying, look, the May Center is already largely inaccessible to us, and now we're going to build a second community center that's also going to be largely inaccessible to us. We want, and I'm not putting words in their mouth, but, you know, we want yoga and knitting and computer classes and other things for all kinds of folks. And also, which, by the way, there will be access, right? 30 hours a week of access for the $40,000, $45,000 a year. There's also a concern about, you know, I mean, that was the main one. There was also some concern about the bulk of the money, the size of the money, because obviously maintenance is an expensive thing, especially over 40 or 50 or 60 years. That was one of the things that Jen Brer was talking about. And also having a dedicated repair fund for one community center, which it's, I don't know, calling it a community center is not quite accurate. It's a CISA gym that the community can also use, I think would be a better way to conceive of it. But okay, so Jen Brer.
I understand, Mr. Rafferty, that this is money coming from you, but in the first 10 years of this, we'll pay $1 million towards it. In the course of the 46 years, we're looking at $4.6 million. And if we go the 66 years, then of course we've paid for this building more times over without regular public use. So that's my first concern.
So she's bringing, and she had been the primary one on council, although Charles Baer had also been bringing this up. And so she and Lumen May got into a little bit about this question of where the money comes from, who's entitled, and so forth. And it's worth hearing. And I will say this in advance. I like Jen. I think Jen's a sharp lady. She's got all the right motives. You know, you can't lay some of the sort of more base attacks against her that you might be inclined to do. You just can't. But I just think she's just wrong. Just wrong in this case. And sometimes you can be wrong and it can look bad too. And unfortunately for her and for the other folks who were bringing the objections against this or against this particular deal, I mean, it looked bad. Honestly, unfortunately, sadly, but it did.
I mean, I think that y'all are doing fantastic things with kids. That's not the question. The question is, how do we continue to do fantastic things with kids all around this town? because our funds are so limited on this type thing, and this is fairly abundant for any one of the compared to ours.
So Jennifer, can I say this? Can I take a moment? And we can vote it up or we can vote it down.
That's not what I'm saying. But Jennifer,
I grew up at Calona and Callaway. I grew up at Bill Gregory and Terry Wayne. When the kids at Bill Bond had nice equipment and the poor black kids on the west side didn't have an opportunity. And so the reason that I go out and raise this type of money is because God has allowed me that opportunity to do that. And so we're never going to be apologetic for raising money to give my children the things that they need, nor am I going to be put on Front Street.
This
is where we are, Jennifer.
Just a minute. We are trying
to give our children the same thing that other children have.
Listen, I just want to say this real quick here. At that time...
So, on the one hand... I understand that Jen is trying to make her point and she's getting drowned out by emotion. But the drowned out by emotion people are right. And the more you protest, the worse it looks. That's the problem. The more it looks like what it's not, because I know Jen, she's just raising objections based on what she's got her kind of intellectual teeth wrapped around on this topic, especially because, you know, she got into office because people were upset about the YMCA taking over the I always get them confused, Fricker or Victory. But anyway, that center on Summit. And so that's where she's coming from. But again, you kind of got to realize, like, this deal's good. And let's just be excited about it. Well, she had trouble with that.
What I'm trying to do is find a way here that you guys have your space, you have your facility, and the city can maintain. I mean, in all honesty, I'm just going to be real honest. I know this won't thrill any of you, but I don't even believe that we can support an organization that requires prayers every time. That is against a municipal facility. So I don't even... And I'm not saying that I'm not against the prayers. I'm saying that that is not within...
Well, Jennifer, can I go on the record?
Hold on. No, just...
But I wanted to clarify that point, that we don't require any person to pray. We don't require any person to do any faith. What we do believe that someone should be of the highest morals and values, and if
Excellent.
Someone wants to express themselves in anything that they do, we will allow them to do it. So we do not require prayer.
Okay, and thank you. I've got enough info.
We would never do that.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
And she actually brought up, I thought, was kind of an interesting suggestion, which was instead of the maintenance, why not just basically donate the land to them and they can, because the reason they want to build there is because it's right next to the existing facility, right next to the May Center. And, it, you know, it's like economies of scale to put everything in one place. You know, maybe just donate them the land and then don't do the public funding. Again, I just think for the money of $3,000 or $4,000 a month, getting 30 hours of access is a pretty sweet deal. And in the process, facilitating this center that is going to benefit the exact people, as Allison Patton put it, city councilwoman, are the people we should be trying to benefit.
The kids that are being helped there are exactly the folks that I want to help as an elected official. And in every way I can, it's hard to get dollars for these kinds of programs. And we have an organization here that is willing to fund those programs. And all they're asking us to do is, and they're giving us a $3 million building, and all they're asking us to do is the upkeep on the building.
Yeah, and Delarian Wiggins, I think it's his district.
This is a great opportunity. This is an example of private and city partnerships.
Yeah, no, we always talk about private-public partnerships. This is a great example of that. Lumen May.
People say this is a resource center. That's compared to Vickery. That's compared to Bayview. That's untrue. It's untrue, Jennifer, when you have a $20 million facility versus a $1.5 million facility.
They're not 20.
but it's untrue. And so what we have there is a gym. And we couldn't tutor our children. We couldn't do sewing. We couldn't do that. And rather than come to this municipality and ask to give us tax dollars, I thought that we were doing something that was unique that Doug Baldwin was doing in Seattle, that we would go to the private side and see what can you do for your government. And so that's the partnership that we've had.
Yeah, again, D.C. Reeves has said many times, this is a dream. You know, mayors dream about this kind of an opportunity. We're going to bring you a bunch of money, build a center, and all you got to do is maintain it a little bit. I mean, yeah, it's good. And this had gone on for quite some time, like an hour, maybe something like that. And then, you know, Teniade Broughton had gotten frustrated and tried to call the question. Casey Jones wanted to speak, so they voted her down on the calling of the question. But they eventually voted, you know, obviously to do this thing for a 6-1 vote, Jen Brer voting against it. There were a couple of moments right toward the end that were actually kind of funny, because you could tell Jared Moore, city council president, was like dealing with the stress of this whole crowd and the frustration, and everybody keeps wanting to talk.
Aren't we all glad
that, and by the way, Charles Bear made a good point.
Aren't we all glad that Councilman Wiggins removed this from the consent so we could have this discussion?
Like, it wouldn't have been. It would have just been done. Zip. Boom. No conversation.
Sorry.
Sweet Jesus. You're going to make a liar out of me.
Talk again. That's as close to swearing as I think I've ever heard Jared Moore. And he did it again, too.
So at this time, since we have not changed this agreement, but I hope that in the future that is how it works. But I am not going to support it for that reason specifically.
Grumbling crowd.
All right.
The mayor wants to talk.
I think. Lord.
No, I don't have a button. I'm going to be real quick.
Because he had tried to say, it's over. Let's, you know. Anyway, so they voted. Big applause. Everybody's, most people are very happy.
All right, motion passes 6-1.
And I think everybody should be happy, because everybody's getting something out of this. And again, it's just, it's a really good thing for these kids. Oh, I still didn't tell my Lumen May story. John?
After traffic.
All right, traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
All right, I'll give you the story. This is my favorite Lumen May joke. My son, who's maybe, I don't know, 7, 8, 9. I don't even remember. Let's say 9. No, he's younger than that. 7 was my youngest, was playing basketball, and we weren't at SZA. We were somewhere else. We were playing at the May Center. And so this is like my wife and me and our two older boys, all of whom are, you know, bright white, red hair, and my youngest, who is bright white, red hair. I see Lumen on the other side of the court, and I go over to talk to him, and all these kids are like, hey, Mr. May, hey, Mr. Lumen, you know, they're all very respectful, whatever. And I go up to him, hey, Lumen, how you doing? We're hanging out. And he's like, what you doing here? And I'm like, you know, my son's playing. He's like, which one is he? It's the only white kid in the whole gym. That was my favorite Lumen May joke. He's funny. He is funny. All right, I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
The most famous verse in all the Bible is famous for several reasons. It's famous because it's rich with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's famous because it models godly giving in an amazingly sacrificial way. It's famous because it explains the way to heaven as well as the avoidance of eternal hell. Have you figured out which verse I'm talking about? If you thought John 3:16, then you're right. It powerfully states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you have never confessed your sin and called on Christ to save you, I urge you to trust Christ today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs and find the right insurance products that best fit the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement. Or if you're looking for options now, they'll be taking your calls and questions tomorrow at 10 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable. When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News. WEAR-TV. And the News Radio team. On News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The White House says a trade deal with China is in the works. White House Economic Advisor Kevin Hassett was asked about the status of trade negotiations on ABC's This Week. He said the trade team has been focused 100% like a laser. Hassett said he expects President Trump to update their tariff plan this week.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Interesting note on military accommodations overseas. An inspection of some base housing in Guam led to kind of a, like, force-wide evaluation of the quality of barracks. This is often very bad.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. 8 people hurt during a solidarity march in Boulder, Colorado.
The FBI is investigating this as an act of terrorism.
Denver FBI Special Agent in Charge Mark McCulloch. Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House.
The suspect is a 45-year-old Egyptian man who overstayed a visa in 2022. That's what makes him an illegal immigrant. And the reason the feds were so quick to call this a terror attack is because of what the alleged attacker said, Free Palestine, and who he targeted. A group of people who are rallying to free Hamas's hostages.
Police arresting Mohammed Sabri Soleimani. He has a court date 1:30 p.m. local time, charged with multiple felonies. European Union Trade Commissioner, that's Mauro Sefcovic, will meet his U.S. counterpart Jameson Greer in Paris on Wednesday. That from the EU spokesperson today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio, 92.3, 73 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. 3 people are recovering after a car accident that took out several power lines, resulted in a fiery rollover on Sunday. It happened on Mobile Highway and Pine Forest Road. Officials say the car crashed, rolled, and caught on fire, taking out some power lines as well. About 700 people in that area were without power for a brief time early Sunday morning. 3 people did make it out of the vehicle safely, but were taken to the hospital following the crash. There's no word on what led to that accident. 2 people were shot during a kid's dance recital at the Sanger Theater in Mobile yesterday.
And it's just so unfortunate that people want to resort to gunfire instead of conflict resolution. And to bring this to a child's dance recital is despicable.
Mobile Police Chief William Jackson, who talked to NBC 15, there are reports that one man was taken to the hospital with what may have been life-threatening injuries. A woman that was seated nearby was wounded in the leg during the incident. Witnesses described a scuffle before the shots were fired. The theater was filled with kids and families at the time. Mobile police say a suspect did turn himself in. 9th Avenue between Carpenters Creek and Royce Street are reopened. PPD says the road reopened over the weekend. It had been closed since Wednesday when a water main ruptured. After several weeks of negotiations, House and Senate leaders have now reached an agreement to begin finalizing a budget for the 2025-2026 fiscal year. House Speaker Daniel Perez and Senate President Ben Albritton announced plans to pass the budget by June 16th. It includes a $900 million tax cut by eliminating a tax on commercial leases, as well as $350 million in sales tax exemptions for families. Officials say the budget framework aims for fiscal responsibility with allocations for debt reduction and for state reserves. Conference committees start meeting tomorrow to negotiate details, and unresolved issues will be set aside for further discussion later this week. Snapchat has filed a motion to pause or dismiss a lawsuit from Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer. Uthmeyer's accusing the company of violating a 2024 law designed to restrict social media access for kids. The law prohibits users under 14 from creating accounts and requires parental consent for those aged 14 or 15. Snapchat argues that proceeding with Uthmeyer's lawsuit is duplicative, as a similar case by tech industry groups is already underway. The company says the law infringes on First Amendment rights and burdens adults by requiring age verification. Uthmeyer's lawsuit alleges that Snapchat knowingly allows underage users to create accounts and violates state regulations. Three people are safe after a plane crash off the coast of Indian River County. The sheriff's office says a single-engine plane crashed last night in the ocean off Vero Beach. The Coast Guard helped local officials with the search. Three people were found in the water. They were taken to the Coast Guard station in St. Lucie County. Right now, there's no word on what caused the crash. The NTSB and the FAA are currently investigating. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Just one accident to let you know about on the, at 87 and Highway 90 up in Milton. The roadway is blocked. There's a vehicle crash with injuries. So just be aware of that. That is blocking the roadway. I-10 just seeing a minor slowdown right around the Highway 29 construction zone. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And we've got 73 degrees. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with a small 10% chance of a stray shower. Most of us looking at sunny skies. High today near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. Very similar day for that Tuesday with mostly sunny skies. Just a small 10% chance of rain. High near 88. By Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
73 right now in Pensacola. 70 in Gulf Breeze. 69 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Major steel stocks jumped this morning following President Trump hiking tariffs tied to the metal. Shares of mining company Cleveland-Cliffs popped roughly 25% following the announcement, while Steel Dynamics and Nucor each jumped more than 10%. France's Sanofi has agreed to buy U.S.-based Blueprint Medicines Corporation for over $9 billion to boost its position in rare immunology diseases. LSEG data says this would be the biggest healthcare deal in Europe this year. Reuters reports Tesla's new car sales in Sweden fell nearly 54% in May from a year earlier to 503 vehicles, and that's according to data from Mobility Sweden. And Paradromics has implemented its brain-computer interface in a human for the very first time. The procedure took place at the University of Michigan with a patient who was already undergoing neurosurgery to treat epilepsy. Futures are moderately lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 54. That's Your Money Now.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With four convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Prosecco Week, Father's Day, Craft Beer Festival, Juneteenth, Toast of the Coast, High on the Hog, Dinner with Strings, and the 4th of July. Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night.
a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Again, to be clear, any attempt by Communist China to conquer Taiwan by force would result in devastating consequences for the Indo-Pacific and the world. There's no reason to sugarcoat it. The threat China poses is real, and it could be imminent. We hope not, but it certainly could be.
Pete Hegseth giving a speech over the weekend. I'll have the speech for you tomorrow in depth, but that was the key line from the speech, saying that, you know, China represents an imminent threat to Taiwan. They have defined their own military readiness by 2027 as being capable of reacquiring Taiwan, their view, reacquiring. You know, we talked about this last week with Rick Scott when he was here in town. Jimmy Petronas is on the line with us now, our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. A lot of stuff to get to. I did want to ask you about this, your perspective, because I know I had asked, you were there, and I had asked Rick Scott in front of you, and I didn't really get, you know, you didn't really have a chance to talk about it, but my own view is it looks like we are, China is ready to go to war with us, or trying to get ready to go to war with us, or Taiwan, or both. The question is whether we're ready to go to war with them and what we need to be doing about it. The Chinese say this comment by Pete Hegseth is inflammatory and unfounded and unjustified or whatever. I don't think it is. I think it's on target. What do you think?
Well, I heard Pete's comments yesterday from Singapore. And I think he's flexing to the rest of the world, saying, look, we are not the United States of the previous 4 years. And this is why Trump selected him. This is why you've seen enrollment in our services spike. I mean, there was a neglect to the warfighter. And so I think Pete's got something to prove. I think he wants to not only tell the rest of America, but the rest of the world that the United States is back and we're going to, you know, be focusing on our warfighter. And, you know, I just look at what's transpired over the last 48 hours. there's a lot of powder kegs that are really close to being in a dangerous spot with what happened in Ukraine with the bombers. And you know, we were talking a little bit before the show. I'm sure Taiwan probably had a pretty uneasy night between, you know, Pete flexing and the bombers being hit in Russia, and, you know, and sure, Japan and China are both, you know, paying a lot of attention right now.
Yeah, I meant to ask you about that. The attack by Ukraine against Russia on the sort of eve of time of when they're supposed to be sitting down and figuring out a peace deal. I mean, I think the attack was a completely justified act of war against an invading power, a brilliant act of, you know, planning and execution, these drones and these trucks and these buildings with retractable roofs to launch outside of airports and take out purely military targets, as far as I can tell, without any casualties whatsoever. But kind of, does this seem like the kind of thing that people sitting down to a peace deal do?
No, this is something that me personally, I wish would have happened about 6 months ago.
Amen.
But now that it's happened, you know, by the amount of work that went into it, I'm sure, to your point a minute ago, this took a lot of planning over a long period of time to ensure that only we're hitting, the only targets we're hitting were the bombers. At some point, do you take a risk of allowing all that equipment to be discovered? Or do you go ahead and just, you know, inflict the pain and then speak from a different position of negotiation with that being reflected upon? Those video shots were incredible.
I mean, it's great PR for Ukraine, certainly. It reminded me of, you remember the cell phone attack that the Israelis did, where were killing terrorists with the exploding cell phones and the walkie-talkies, and they're like, what else is going to explode in my hand? Well, anything, brother. We'll get you. So, you know, I thought it was,
sure.
And you got to assume, you know, if you're Russia, that these weren't the last of it, you know, that they have other capabilities, but, you know, and that's leverage. I don't know. Hey, kind of because we're in this vicinity, global politics stuff, I did want to ask you if you wanted to comment at all on the just insane attack in Boulder against, I guess, one Holocaust survivor, these elderly Jews who were all, you know, out there and marching in support for the people who are still in captivity by Hamas in the Gaza Strip, and they get flamethrower attacked by some complete nut Egyptian maniac. It's crazy.
where in the hell do people come up with this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, how can there be that much hatred in your body to want to go and firebomb attack a group of people that are peacefully protesting? There's definitely some twisted people out there. I don't think there's a hell good enough to send this son of a gun to. But I'm really getting caught up to speed on it this morning. To do the Molotov cocktail, the flamethrower, you know, 8 people were affected. It's really damn upsetting.
It is. And to have, clearly a terrorist attack on U.S. soil, clearly is what this is. And, of course, here in Pensacola, we've been the recipients of that as well, unfortunately. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas.
Sure,
he is our congressman from Northwest Florida. Hang on for just a second, Jimmy. John Pickens has traffic on the 5. John?
Still dealing with that accident that happened at Highway 90 and 87. The road is still blocked there. It's a vehicle crash with injuries. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. I was pleasantly surprised to see a story in Florida Politics about the insurance industry turnaround. And now I know when I look at my bill for my home insurance, it doesn't feel like a turnaround, at least not yet. But the stuff that's been done over the last couple of years, and you were formerly the CFO of the state of Florida, this is perhaps the most pressing issue on a lot of Floridians' minds. Have we fixed it? Have we made good dent? Do we still need things to do? Should we expect to actually see premiums go down? What's your take on this, Jimmy?
So here's the challenge with the insurance market. The biggest indicator that we were going in the right direction is over the last 2 years, we picked up about 12 new carriers.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave the indication that the Florida market had created some predictability for investment. So as those new carriers come to the market, and this isn't the first time that we've had, you go back to 08, we had a very similar environment as you have right now. If you go back even back to 96, there was nothing available. If you lived within a mile of the coastline, the only thing that was available was the Florida JUA. So, this isn't the first time Florida has had a tough market that has turned around. Now, with all these new carriers that come in the state, what they'll start to do is they'll start to get competitive. They'll start going after those policies where the homes have been hardened, where it be impact windows or doors or those type of investments being made. And then it'll trigger, a competitiveness in the rates. That happened overnight. I tell people, you've got to give it time. When you have an insurance policy that you've just written and you're signed up for a year at that locked-in rate, just because new carriers come in, you're not going to get a rebate back until you start trying to shop it and find a better deal. And I talk to people every single day that have got a policy, they didn't like it, they picked up the phone, they called their agent found them the equivalent coverage for a savings. So you got to pick up the phone, you got to be proactive, you got to talk to your agent. And sometimes, unfortunately, you have to talk to a different agent because they have a different book of carriers that they can write from.
No, absolutely. And shopping around. In our case, we lost our insurance because they stopped writing in Florida. We were forced to go out. And I was amazed at some of the things that seems like standard now. Sending in a video through an app on your phone to show them outside, inside, under the sink, like the, they talk about buyer's markets and seller's markets. And when it comes to home insurance, it is a seller's market, unfortunately. But turning that corner means, more, if there's more companies, there's competition eventually. And as you say, their felt need to compete when other people are leaving to go to other carriers. So, it's good. Oh, by the way, since we're kind of in this subject, you were here on Thursday with Governor Scott and you talked about, I thought it was such a useful little thing, but it was talking about doing a video outside and inside your home and sending that to yourself on email so you have it if, God forbid, a catastrophe hits, right?
Yes. You think about it. If you get damage to your house, what's the insurance company do? They're going to send an adjuster, kind of like an investigator, to come out and ascertain what type of damage was caused by the storm that is eligible to go into a claim. So I tell people, if you film the outside of your house today, get the windows, the walls, everything on the outside, show there's no trees on it. Do the same thing inside. Your wardrobe, your television, your floor coverings, your furniture, and then get those two videos. Talk to yourself the whole time. Say what date is. Email it to yourself. It's somewhere virtual. Now you've got really cut and dry evidence of what your house looked like today before the storm hit, And it helps that adjuster ascertain what damage they're liable for. But what it really helps you as the policyholder, if you have significant damage to your house, God forbid your house burns down, there's no way you can remember to inventory everything you potentially lost.
Yeah.
You're going to be sorting through ashes. So, I mean, now that you've got this video inventory, it's literally just rewatching the video, writing everything down, and creating an accurate claim so you can get settled and paid.
I tell you, just it's not what you were talking about. It's not related to hurricane season, but it reminds me when our house was being built, I went in there with a camera as it was happening so many times because I can't tell you how many times I have wondered, now, where was that pipe behind the wall?
You know? Exactly. No, it's no different. I tell you, that little photographic history evidence, it'll pay dividends down the road. You'll never you know think about it till you really need it.
But, right.
And it's free. I mean, we're a cell phone society. Just shoot the video. And the great thing is if you email it to yourself, it's somewhere virtual.
Absolutely.
You don't have to go worry about, you know, finding that hard drive where you stored it.
The big item to me, one of the big items in the tax bill that's, you know, still, I think, maybe unlikely to pass the Senate in its current form, so there's still going to be a lot of wrangling about this, is the deduction for tax on tips. You know, I used to be a waiter, okay? And the more I think about this thing, the less it makes sense to me. You know, I make money as an employee by hourly wage. I can also make money by, you know, selling ads. That's a commission. Somebody else can make money by all the different ways you would make an income. Why is tipped income the one that we tell people they don't need to pay income tax on? Like, income is income. It strikes me as a really weird one. And also, you're a restaurateur. You know, I'm kind of curious what you think about the practical impact of taking away income tax on that one slice of income.
Well, and you talk to the typical server. They're not waiting tables for the hourly wage. They're waiting tables for the gratuity that they collect. So, I mean, it's the type of culture that we live in. Some cultures don't have tips at the dinner table. But, you know, President Trump was out campaigning in Nevada. He had talked to a server that was there. He had asked her about, you know, what would you think if we got rid of tax on tips? And, of course, you know, you see the reaction. And I think it really became kind of a grassroots idea that President Trump goes, man, this would be a popular idea in Nevada. You know, why not we just do it across the board? And I'm sure that the service industry union in Nevada, they fell in love with the idea, probably triggered a lot to his success of winning Nevada, is that created that movement where Kamala Harris jumped on the exact same issue. So, yeah, there'll probably be some tweaking out of it, out of the Senate. We'll see. It depends on how much capital the president wants to burn up in the Senate twisting their arms to get this bill out. I mean, we passed a big, beautiful bill by one vote. And, you know, what at the end of the day was really important to me is I wanted to extend those tax cuts. I didn't want to see anybody get a tax hike. And then you have the additional issues that are to it that the president campaigned on. But, yeah, I would think restaurants are going to get real creative and finding new ways to make everybody tipped employees because it'll be a morale issue. It'll be interesting how it actually gets executed.
Yeah, that's kind of curious to me if because I had somebody say that, look, you know, employers who have high-tipped employees – will find a way to use this to their advantage. You're a restaurateur at heart. You think you're going to, that would, the number of people getting their wages through tips is going to go up through this because they can sell it to the employees as a tax-free solution, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would think most restaurants are going to have every Tom, Dick, and Harry lining up at their door to go out and get this new form of income without having to pay taxes on it. And it may create a glut of service industry employees, but you know, at least you're getting people out in the workforce. I mean, that's kind of a different, whatever motivates people to get to work. That's great with me.
Do you think this will mean more people asking me if I want to tip them? Like when I go buy fast food or whatever.
You know, people are going to, the IRS going to come knock on the door.
Right.
And say, well, you haven't paid any taxes. Well, I've been waiting tables, you know. I mean, where's the proof? I don't know if I need any proof. I wait table to get tipped in cash. So, I mean, it's definitely going to create some interesting times.
I think that what we need to do is we need to create some car cup holder news radio tip jars, and people can be driving around. They can put tips for me in the jar whenever I say a good thing, and then I can make that money tax free. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. So, Jimmy Petronis.
You know that people get up every morning people get up every morning and you're their routine. So, I mean, yeah, you say that, it's going to happen because you said it.
I'm going to start getting, you know, quarters and nickels and not the penny anymore. People are going to bring me the change. That's hilarious. Congressman Jimmy Petronis, Northwest Florida District 1, sir, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for emphasizing hurricane preparedness as you did last week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Great to be with you. Take care.
Absolutely. 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with that accident that happened on Highway 90 and Jeff Ates Road. The roadway is blocked there in all directions, so just be aware of that. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, starting to see those slowdowns due to congestion and construction. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're working on a home project, you got to repair something, you're trying to do an expansion, or maybe you're a professional builder. I mean, everybody's at some different level on the, you know, the Andrew to professional scale. I'm at the very one end of that scale. And you go to Pensacola Hardware. Obviously, they can help you out with any of your hardware supplies, but if you are a builder, a contractor, you do this for a living, man, they are your place. They are your commercial construction supply business. The warehouse is right here. You know, they just, you know, let's go out and back and get it. Like, that's literally what they do. They've got it right here. If it's a special order, and like an architect or an engineer gives you a specified product, no problem. They do that all the time for folks. Personal service, you know, you don't have to have a translator to explain to the person what you're talking about because they know your industry. They've been doing this for forever. You know, talk to Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield when you go in there and, you know, ask them what they know and what they can do to help you. I mean, they have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, 174 years. They know. You're not going to go in and wonder if they know what they're talking about. They know what they're talking about. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Stop by the Palafox Market Saturday mornings. Stroll and check out our local artisans' crafts and handiwork, locally grown produce, and freshly baked breads, goodies, and other foods. All along North Palafox from 9 till 2. Join the World Ocean Day celebration hosted by the Perdido Key Chamber at Perdido Key Community Center from 9 till 3. It's a day for all ages to explore and learn. More at visitperdido.com. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Chip, I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
Chip, you brought this on, man.
What is wrong with you?
Chip, I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
I love that.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Headlines are always better when I'm jacked up on Mountain Dew, Andrew.
Absolutely.
President Trump said to meet today with Germany's new chancellor at the White House this week. It'll be the first face-to-face meeting with the two leaders since Friedrich Merz was elected in early March. Discussions are expected to focus on trade policy and the Russia-Ukraine wars. Both leaders push for a ceasefire deal there. Merz is set to visit Washington on Thursday.
And wait. The Chancellor of Germany's name is Fred Merz. Is his wife's name Ethel?
To the moon. The 2025 Stanley Cup Final gets underway this week. On Wednesday, the Edmonton Oilers will take on the Florida Panthers.
Did you just throw a Honeymooners reference into an I Love Lucy reference?
I'm not good with classic TV.
I'm going to get somebody to text me, Andrew.